Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs to mark the seasons, days and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. Father, we thank you for the wonderful and the blessed and the powerful story of creation as found in Genesis chapter 1. And Lord, thank you for the fact that in your wisdom and grace, you chose to introduce us to not only the book of Genesis with chapter 1, but to the whole Bible with chapter 1, telling us about your wonderful creation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Father, you're all of these and so, so much more. Thank you for being the blessed Heavenly Father and Creator that you are to each and every one of us. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with your word and your will with every passing day. And more, help us to be wise enough to recognize, Lord, that everything in your universe points us back to you. You're a wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for testifying about yourself through creation. Father, thank you so much that we can look at sunsets and sunrises and see you as an artist. And Father, thank you so much that you know if even a sparrow falls to the ground. Thank you so much for giving us food to eat, for causing the rain to fall. And Father, just this morning, we look to praise you and to get to know you more. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As always, we do appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Before we introduce our guest, there's one more passage we're going to share from the Word of God that powerfully and beautifully points to the great topic we'll be looking at. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, tells us these words: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." All of Psalm 19. Well, it's our honor and blessing to be able to introduce our phone guest today. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of the book Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. He's a medical doctor. He's an oncologist. He's several other things as well, but I'm going to let him further introduce himself. But Dr. West, good to have you with us here on the Hour of Intercession.
It's just wonderful to be here. I've already enjoyed it so much. Picked some of my favorite scripture. I personally dedicated my book to Psalm 8,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have chose to place your glory in the heavens. And when I look in the heavens and I see the work of your fingers, moon and the stars, which you put in place. Who is man that you care for us? I find that the most apropos scripture I could find for my book. Again, you've named it Sacred Science.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Again, the title, Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. Would you take a moment, Dr. West, to further introduce yourself, tell our listeners just a little bit more about you so they'll better know who you are. And then we'd like to dive right into the message and the mission behind your book. Again, the title, Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. But
good.
If you could tell our listeners just a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I'm the youngest of four children. My father was a surgeon. Both my brothers were surgeons. I'm a doctor. My daughter, I'm pretty pleased to say, is a pediatrician. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I started the West Cancer Center here in Memphis. We're one of the larger cancer centers in the Southeast. We have 700 employees. And all my life, I've been in love with Jesus. My mother introduced me to Jesus when I was a baby. And I've never seen a reason to not have absolute confidence in Jesus and to make that the center of my life. I have eight grandchildren. Unfortunately, many of them live out of town, and I miss them. Mm. But I do my best to get to see them as often as I can. I think they're the wondrous part of life and in God's great plan. I spent many years taking care of cancer patients. We've made progress. We're not as capable as I would like to be. We need still more ideas, more understanding, better treatments. But we've made a lot of progress. I lost my mother to breast cancer when I was 21. And that was the reason I decided to become an oncologist, a cancer treatment doctor, and why I've spent most of my professional career trying to improve the treatment of cancer.
Mm. Yes, sir. Well, thank you for sharing that information, that background. And before we dive into the message and the mission behind your book, would you take a moment to pray for listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast and through that which will be shared?
Father God, you wrote us these messages. You inspired these messages. You had the inspiration to write Genesis 1. What a beautiful piece of work you did. And open our ears to listen to the meaning of each one of those words, each of those sentences. And may those who listen to us today, when I understand and when I begin to explain your science, some of the tools you used to create this incredible earth, please help me to be simple, to be understood, and to help those listening to gain a better appreciation for just how unimaginably creative you are, what an unimaginable mathematician you are, and what a fabulous job you've done putting together this beautiful universe and this rare, 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 privileged earth. Those of us who live here have no way to express our gratitude. We have won the lottery. We have one in a trillion chance of being here, and we're here, and we are grateful. And I want to just thank you personally for me. I want to thank you for the pastor. I want you to thank you for this radio service. And we are glorious in this day. We pray in precious Jesus' name, close to Easter. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for all of our listeners. Anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every listener so that they all will be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit as you speak to them through the broadcast today. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. We'll be right back.
Once and for all. but no longer bound by chains. Left at an empty grave, the sinner and the sacred resolved. And all of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your
music of Mercy Me with All of Creation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's a medical doctor and the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. And Dr. West, before you dive into the book specifically, one of the things I'd want to say is, want to say a big thank you to the fact that you took the time to write a book like this with such a critically important topic, because a reality that I think it's simple, but it's profound, that you're touching on powerfully is the fact that real science, not only does it line up perfectly with faith, but real science helps us to worship God in all that he is and all that he does. So when we're dealing with real science, not only does it not conflict, it helps our faith in many, many ways. So thank you again for writing the book. But can you tell us what prompted you how did the Lord prompt you, and why do you feel like the Lord prompted you specifically to write a book on this particular topic?
I began to read in articles like the Wall Street Journal that there was a rising proportion of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, particularly among young people. Mm-hmm. That means people who say they have no faith. They're not attached to any traditional religion. And I looked a little further into that, and it was because they believe now their confidence is in science. They no longer need the traditional religion because they have science. Well, then that raises the logical question, well, where did the science come from? And that's when I realized how beautifully created it is, and of course, it is all a gift from God, each piece of the science. So I wanted to explain, you know, we really don't have a course that explains some of the actual ways that God shaped the universe. And so I wanted to write about that and try to make it as understandable as I could to the average student, that when they say they're celebrating Congress, rather science, they are celebrating God, because science is a revelation of God. You know, we have the scriptural revelation of God. We mm-hmm. have a science revelation of God. When we see what he has done, the works of his fingers, that's a revelation of God. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get to those nuns and say, wait a minute, science is not a non-religious alternative. It is, like the scripture is a revelation of God, science is a revelation of God. And that was my basic motivation, to try to reach those nuns and make them realize if they think science is an escape, they're embracing the tools crafted by this amazing, amazing superintelligence that created this universe.
Mm. Yes, sir. Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, can you share how, for example, the term the scientific method, why is that so helpful in helping us to better understand why science lines up wonderfully and perfectly with the Word of God?
Well, you know, back in the 1700s, all the great scientists thought they were reading the thoughts of God. They were devoting their work to God. God was the great geometer. God was the great mathematician, which he is. And then sometime, oh, I don't know, 100 years ago, probably about the time of Darwin, they began to doubt God. And Darwin's been a difficult, difficult input. I can tell you now that Darwin was simply wrong, and we reject all of his premises. But it had a damaging effect. So it's been a matter of coming back to the recognition that science was the gift of God, that science is a reflection of God.
Hmm. Well, and you know, I think that's such a good thing to point out in it, because sadly we see Mr. Darwin was someone who didn't have faith, and it appears that one of his goals, of course, was to get rid of faith in God. And so he had an agenda behind what he did. And, you know, I think of that, you know, for example, the tragedy of the theory of evolution. Well, you know, yes, we call it a theory, yet it's so full of holes, it's tragic, you know, that it's, I think, one couldn't really call it real science. And I think it's important to understand real science doesn't contradict the Word of God at all, but I wouldn't consider evolution science at all, but, you know, our culture does, you know. But would you elaborate on that further?
Well, I think our culture needs to quit seeing Darwin as real science. He was wrong in all of his fundamental principles.
Mm-hmm.
He saw evolution as minor, chance-based, random variation that would change an animal one small step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see some of that. I mean, that happens. We change wool so that we change sheep so we get better wool. We grow pigs so that we get more fat. We're able to modify some of the natural world, and that's what he was really saying. But then he extrapolated that to the entire process of how life is formed.
Mm-hmm.
What he had no knowledge of course, was a gene. Genes, we're built of genes. Genes are the programs in our DNA that tell us how tall we are, and what our hands look like, and what the color of our eyes, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand any of that. And of course, real evolution, which does happen because we go from simple life form to more complex life form to a life form that could be created in the image of God, those require genes. They require major creation of new body forms. For instance, you had to have two sides to the body. You had to have two eyes. You had to have eyes. It took so much amazing creation to create life, and then to have that life unfold. And what? So my advice in sacred science is to rename evolution the divine unfolding of life, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
God planned it. He has a system for directing it. Darwin was simply wrong on all spheres. It's not random. It's not minor. It's not always in one lineage, changing that lineage, because
mm-hmm.
we have just all of a sudden brand new species are created because it was time God wanted a bat that could echolocate.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do it suddenly? No. All of a sudden, a bat echolocated was created because it was time from God's power in heaven to download that information to create a bat that could see in the dark, and at the same time, actually created a whale that could see in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So life unfolds according to God's plan, according to his instructions, and Darwin saw none of that. So we can simply forget Darwin, except to say he made good observations about animal breeding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted a fatter pig, you could do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask this question specifically. The word scientism... what is scientism, and how does it work to kind of drive people away from their Christian faith?
Well, scientism, to me, is a unfortunate development by a group of skeptical scientists who want you to believe that scientism is the only reliable source of information. You can't trust religion. You can't trust philosophy. You can't trust Shakespeare. Only science can tell you what's really going on. And of course, that's just silly. But they have made a movement of it. And I think that's what's impacting these nuns, these young people who say, okay, now I believe in science and not traditional religion. It's widespread in our culture. There just a lot of skeptical scientists who say there's no other truth besides science. And, you know, the mantra of those people is don't give God a foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's absurd. But partially what they're trying to say is we need to do good science and prove how things work. So we don't want to call the thunder God, as God is the explanation for thunder. I understand that. We need to keep understanding the real science and so forth. But when we understand it and we get it, we realize it's the creation of a divine superintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So scientism is a bad evolution in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
The skeptical saying science is the only source of truth. Mm-hmm. And it's real, and it's out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. West, just from my perspective and my observation, it appears to me that the most accurate and reliable scientists are Christian scientists that are out there that genuinely know the Lord, and they clearly see direct connection between what they do in you know, learning and sharing about science and their faith. And so time and time again, just like yourself, you're a doctor as well as a scientist, and it seems that your knowledge and understanding seems to be so much more accurate and reliable and something you can really learn from. So, but any thoughts you'd want to share about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And the fact of the matter is 60% of scientists are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They're believers.
Mm-hmm.
But the culture does not want them to express it. So mm-hmm. they are suppressed. It's hard for them to get promotions. It's hard for them to publish. Because if they're now, once you get really good and you get really well receptive, then you can declare your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some great examples of that. And I'm probably going to sit here and block names, but we have some great men today who are great scientists and great believers, and combine the two, and they're too strong and too good. Nobody criticizes them.
Mm-hmm.
But for the great majority, that 60% of believers, they stay fairly quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't want to fight the fight of the scientism that's so rampant in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me. Can you tell me, what would you say are some of the most common scientific myths or theories that are pretty popular in our culture today that do try to say that faith and science just can't coexist?
Well, of course, Darwin was a great example, and he's now been just fully discredited.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you look at the real high-quality science, you can say it's all accidental. Let's take, there's a word called particle physics. And back in the 1960s, we had these big atom smashers. And they would define new particles. They would find the electron, and they would find those things that were going to make the atom. And they built this model. And they were able to say it was all broken symmetry, because it started as one big unit and then sort of snapped apart. And they could kind of claim that that was spontaneous, not produced by God. And they still claim to do that. And I'm going to give you a scientific term now that maybe is oversaid, but I think the thing that really broke them in that regard was the finding of what is called the Higgs field. Now, that's a new term. It may be new to you. It may be to all your listeners. But when these particles were created by God, let's take light. Light has no mass. Mass slows things down. And light's not carrying mass around. Light's the fastest thing in the universe. It circles our Earth 7 times per second, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Matter is physical. It can't go that fast. It has a resistance. And so the question became, well, how did these particles without any mass, like light, traveling at the speed of light, and by the way, if they kept traveling at the speed of the light, we weren't going to create atoms, We weren't going to have people. All of a sudden fills the universe, this Higgs field, H-I-G-G-S. And those things that are going to become physical have to swim through that field. And they encounter the Higgs particles. And as they bump against those Higgs particles, they're encoded with a perfect amount of mass. Mm. Now, how do the scientists react to that? Because that's about as much a miracle as we're going to see. I mean, and they didn't like it because it was a miracle. We had no mass, and then we had this wondrous, like no other field known to science, fill the entire universe and give the perfect quantity of mass to make the particles that make the atoms that make the human body. And I'm going to continue and make one point about it. Mm-hmm. How was the Higgs field discovered? Because Peter Higgs read an equation. He looked at an equation on a piece of paper, and he said, you know, if a field just means a great area of activity.
We can I'm going to have to jump in right there, Dr. West, and we can pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of the book Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. We'll be right back. Music from Hillsong, the song simply entitled Oceans. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of the book Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. Dr. West, if someone is wanting to get a copy of the book, can you tell them how they can get a copy of Sacred Science?
Sacred Science is available both through Amazon and through a second bookstore, and I'm going to sit here and block the name, Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. Okay. And actually, it's released to be ordered, I think, today or tomorrow.
Okay.
So this is actually the official release date.
All righty. Yes, sir. Well, can you pick up where you left off before the break there?
Well, I wanted to finish the story of this miraculous Higgs field that gives our universe physicality. Mm-hmm. It gave mass to the particles that can make atoms, and without that mass, we wouldn't be physical. Mm-hmm. Plants wouldn't be with us. And the ray was discovered on an equation. Peter Higgs looked at an equation, and he looked at it. This is mathematics, and he said, "You know, if a field really existed like that, it would explain where the mass came from." And that was 1964. They proved his theory in 2012. But my question is this, where does that equation spend eternity? It's obviously was part of God's creation. You read that wonderful first week of Genesis. It was obviously released as part of that Genesis week. And it was already in God's storage plan. It was in his dominion, and he released it. which then suggests that God has a library for all of his creation in his heaven, in his higher dimension. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, he also has a library for all of life, for all of the genes and the proteins that make creatures. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way that he released the Higgs field to make the universe physical, he releases elements from his library for life that take us from simple creatures to bats with echolocation, to more complex animals with higher intelligence, mm-hmm. until he reaches this creature that he was willing to share his image, which I think is just the most phenomenal thing I can possibly imagine. We share the image of God. Mm-hmm. That's why we can read his equations. That's why we can understand his science. Mm-hmm. And what a gift is that? Is there any greater gift? I want to get on to the issue of, should science be discussed in the church? It generally is not. Mm-hmm. Pastors generally avoid it because they don't want to create the controversy. Thank you, Darwin, et cetera. But I'm going to send a lot of my books to pastors. Mm-hmm. And I happen to have a pastor right now who's very comfortable bringing science into his sermons. And I think it makes for better sermons sometimes when you can understand a little bit more, not only that God created, but how he created and the greatness of his creation and the tools and how amazingly super intelligent they are. So I'd like to see a little more science actually in the pulpit. And that's part of my hope with this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. West, in just a moment, I'm going to ask that you pray for the church that they would do just that. Because, you know, and something in relation to that before you pray, though, that I think it's so helpful for us to understand. Kind of a simple definition of science is the explanation of what God has created. And so when a person understands what real science is, they can easily understand science can't help but line up perfectly with the Word of God and the will of God, because it's simply explaining what God has done. So I would hope that, exactly as you mentioned, that many more pastors and believers, period, would pursue coming to better understand God through science, because, again, it helps us to better understand truth, which, again, flows from science as well. But would you pray for the church in that regard?
I will pray, and I will say this. I pray that the church and members of the church who sometimes are intimidated by science, they feel like they can't understand it. They feel like it's beyond them. It's God's and it's yours. And God wants you to understand it. And I'm fully convinced God wants us to glorify him. Mm-hmm. He placed us on this amazing earth. He gave us this perfect position in this galaxy so that we can look out on his creation and see his 50 trillion billion stars. We can see the Milky Way. We can look back in time now with his amazing telescopes we have. He wants us to see and appreciate because he wants us to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And I pray more people of faith, rather than being afraid of science, saying, oh, I can never understand it, just take it one small step at a time. Mm-hmm. Make a piece of science yours and then realize who it came from and mm-hmm. then thank God for it and glorify him for it. I pray people glorify God for the creation. We already do, but for even the scientific details mm-hmm. of how he came to realize he could create this universe and unfold this universe in a way that would glorify him.
Amen.
And I pray that in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Tell me, are you familiar, the Creation Museum, are you familiar with it? And will they probably be carrying your book as far as you know, or you do not know?
I don't know yet. I'm much more familiar with the Museum of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they will be carrying the book at the mm-hmm. Museum of the Bible.
Okay.
And I hope it will be widely distributed. You know, it's just now officially available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that it will be in bookstores. I hope that it will be in other institutions, church bookstores, for instance.
Okay.
And I would say, people say, oh, it's too difficult, I can't understand the science. it's above me. It's really not. I do my very best to try to explain it such that people of all education can understand it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my prayers when I began to write. Please, let me make this accessible. It's too wonderful. It's too glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Please let people celebrate God by understanding more about the science he used to create us.
Well, you know, Dr. West, now kind of a, from my perspective, a humorous side of that, yet a beautiful and powerful side is one very important truth about science is that many times, for example, children ask wonderful scientific questions. Just let them go outside and look at nature. And sometimes they ask the most beautiful and powerful and simple questions, just like a child question, how can a woodpecker peck on wood and not knock his brains out? Well, that's a funny question, but at the same time, we serve a God that is so powerful, he can design a bird that can peck that way and not hurt himself. And
that's a great example. I just saw another example. You know, these foxes that can jump high in the air and mm-hmm. dive into the snow to catch a mouse. Mm-hmm. How do they keep from breaking their necks? God designed their necks so that they penetrated without taking any injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's also wonderful. And you're right. Children see it with fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm. And the beauty is, again, if one asks, well, is that really a scientific question? Of course it is. Again, they're wanting an explanation of how a great God could do what he did when he created blank, whatever they may be asking about. And so sometimes we can learn a lot by just listening to their questions and not being afraid to ask our own, because everybody has questions about nature, of course. And I know something that I remember years ago I heard, and it was just one small thing, but it's just the thought fascinates me, the fact that, like, I've been told that the Earth can fit into Jupiter many, many, many times. So that means Jupiter is a massive planet. And just think, Jupiter and Earth are just two of millions and millions of planets God has made. And God knows every one of them by name.
You know, I'll tell you something else too, Pastor, you probably never think about. Mm-hmm. We are traveling right now at 65,000 miles an hour. And in a single day, we're going to travel 1 million miles through space.
Mm.
So we don't know it because we have gravity and we're planted on this Earth. But this Earth is a beautiful starship, you know, sailing through space. And I just think that's fascinating.
Maybe that's why we're so tired so much of the time. I don't know. So, but share with our listeners. One more time, if they want to get a copy of the book, tell them again how to get that.
Well, right now, Amazon, you can go to Amazon Books, search for Sacred Science, William West, and it's available to order. You can also, if you have a Barnes & Noble bookstore, you should be able to order it through that bookstore.
Mm.
And I hope in a few months it'll be available through churches, libraries and churches, et cetera. But right now, the best place to get it would be Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I would like to invite our listeners to pray for you, Dr. West, as well as for just the journey that the book will go through in it, because I would hope there would be those who would come alongside you and maybe help to take different aspects of your book and maybe expand on them and make them to where maybe they can be utilized in other capacities to further share the message. Because just as you alluded to, the church needs to understand that, again, science simply helps us to worship God and to magnify and just recognize what a big and a great and an all-wise and all-knowing God that we serve. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for Dr. West, and thank you for the work you've called him to in writing this book. Father, send along his path people that will help him take the message and the mission behind the book and expand on it so that more and more of the message will bless the world according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, bless Dr. West and the book indeed. In Jesus' name. Well, our time is about gone, Dr. West, but thank you so much for being with us today, okay?
It's been a wonderful experience. Thank you. I'm actually in tears right now. That was a beautiful prayer, and I thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening now and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you and obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to email you and share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please, please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And once again, we invite every listener, please pray much for Dr. William West. He and the book, Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation, that God would use them tremendously to build his kingdom and to help share the gospel around the world. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.